Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, this The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It is our fourth and final hour. Thursday afternoon here. It's a nice one. Giants will be getting underway. About an hour or so from now. Matt Cain trying to do something about his 0-3 record with an ERA of 7. Colorado Rockies are in town for the first of a four-game set. The Toronto Blue Jays will be here next week. The Oakland A's have the night off. They are on the way to the East Coast, Baltimore. That's tomorrow through the weekend, then to Fenway Park to take on the Boston Red Sox. After that, a trip down to Tampa to take on the Rays. It is a long, another East Coast road trip, and that means I'm off the air tomorrow. What is it, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week as well? I might even get clipped on a Friday show. So just back from vacation, I get another, there's staycation. I get A's-cations because of the game coming on. So I'll just have to go out and have some killer lunches, I guess. That's what I'm going to do.
Maybe get a hobby.
Nah.
Get a dog.
I actually do have a dog.
You're marrying into a dog.
I'm marrying into an awesome dog. Yes, I am. Rex, if you're listening. Good boy. Good boy.
Shout out to Rex.
Yeah, seriously. That is all happening. We're just going to roll with the punches here. We're going to make this a great final hour and invite you to be a big part of it, especially at the bottom of the hour when we go to take it to the tweets. Please use the hashtag two as in number two, the tweets, to the tweets. Dan, if you could use the Twitters to let people know. You got a question for me, question for Dan. If the station account could go ahead and fire up the old hoi polloi to let them know that we're going to do that at 6:30. And the truth is, you could be a part of the show. Your question could be part of the show. We will give you credit. We will give your Twitter handle DAP and publicity. What more could you possibly want in the world of social media? Our friend Shooty Babbitt's going to join us. We're going to talk a little A's baseball ahead of this road trip. That's coming up in just a little bit. Got CJ in Concord. How are you, CJ? What do you got for me?
Oi, oi, mother bleeping, oi. That's all I have to say about it.
Sounds good.
Oi, oi, oi!
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
So, I have two separate subjects. So the first one is going to be very static, and there's not going to be much thought involved here. I think the Warriors are going to sweep out the playoffs. I mean, this team is all time. I think that the way that Bob Myers crafted this roster was just genius. I mean, if you think about it, they never got that one superstar. They didn't get that number one pick, that number two pick, you know, that LeBron, that next guy. They never got that. And you know what? They put together a roster that is, they're all time. I mean, this team is, if they win the championship, even if it's only two, they're all time.
Bob Myers' last handful of draft picks, and obviously this doesn't involve Kevon Looney because he's still a question mark, but think about it. This guy drafted Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, Festus Ezeli, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. I don't know if a GM in his career that lasted 15, 20 years will ever nail four players that no one expected to be great players like the way he has. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean, it's really uncanny. And I called your counterparts, to which I hate the local broadcast. I always go with the national TNT, TBS, or ESPN because that guy's insufferable, and I just can't take that.
Well, hold on. Now, if you're saying anything bad about my man Tim Roy, I'm not going to let that fly.
No. I love Tim Roy.
All right. I think I know what you're talking about, and let's continue.
Let's continue.
So we go to the Giants. So with the Giants, when are you going to pull the plug on Jake Peavy? You got to pull the freaking plug. I mean, this guy is an anchor on this team. You can't keep rolling this guy out. I mean, I understand that the Giants, they love their veteran guys. They love to keep rolling those guys out. But you know what? Come on, give me a break. I mean, so at some point, you have to look. You know what? People are paying money to come see these games. I'm not paying money to see this guy give up 4 home runs in like 3 innings. I mean, the guy's throwing, what, like 88? The guy's throwing like an 88.
Look, here's the thing. PV was done the night that they were trying to win a World Series, and he couldn't even get out like the second inning. I mean, I thought it was a little nuts that they brought him back, didn't look to move on. I would give Matt Cain a little bit more benefit of the doubt. If Jake Peavy is done with the Giants tomorrow, no one would miss it. No one really would. They knew when to say goodbye to Tim Hudson. Too bad they didn't know when to say goodbye to Peavy. It's obviously not working. Thank you for your call. And in the interest of maintaining an accurate broadcast, I do have to insert, I just made a mistake. Because Bob Myers was in the building, but it was Larry Riley that actually was the GM when Steph Curry was drafted. But I'll tell you right now, Larry Riley was as much of the face of the front office. He's probably even more of a face of the front office than he was the real GM. I guarantee you that Bob Myers had an awful lot of influence on that Steph Curry pick, because there's not a lot of guys who draft Steph Curry and then get replaced instantly either. Larry was, like, in the building, willing to do the job.
The biggest influence on the Steph Curry selection was that cat in Minnesota who took Rubio and Johnny Flynn.
Con!
Thank God for Con.
Thank goodness.
He's on Mount Conmore just for that gag job.
He should be. He really, really should be.
Flynn and Rubio. Sounds great. Backcourt of the future. Oops.
That's a huge oops. Huge oops. Let us go to, you know what? In a Mount Shootymore, there's only one. It's just a one-guy mountain. Shooty Babbitt here on 95.7 The Game, talking a little baseball with a Shooter, it's been a long time. How are you, man?
Damon Bruce, how you doing today, my friend?
Doing very well. Just hanging out with Dan Dibley, talking a little baseball, hanging out on the radio. It's been a fun day. It really has. This is very unfair that the A's, who come back from a 10-game East Coaster, have to go back to the East Coast for a 10-game trip too. The schedule, when will Major League Baseball actually do something nice for the Oakland A's in any way, shape, or form? Seriously.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, you want to cry, talk to the Seattle Mariners, who, you know, log more miles than anybody throughout the year. So they've got a legitimate gripe. And, you know, I do a lot of minor league coverage, and there's 3-game sets, 2-game sets. You know, the best coverage available is in Double-A, where they play 5-game sets. You can see 2 teams, 2 rotations. It's pretty fun, but it's pretty hard to make everybody happy, man. And I've been with the person, Miss Feeney, who has to do that schedule, and I talked to her about that before. And it's not an easy task, but there's so many variables involved. Unfortunately, you got to play them. So, you know, they've been having a lot of success on the road, so maybe they're happy to get on the road, get away from them.
It's funny. We had on David Forrest on earlier today, and I said, with all the number crunching that you do about your team, is there anything that might indicate why you're playing poorly at home? Can you derive a conclusion about a player from his home or road splits? And he basically said, unless you're talking about altitude or band box, there really isn't that much. But there's something about this team that's not clicking at home. What do you think it is?
Well, it's always been an advantage, but if you look at the way that the players have changed, the roster has a lot of parts that have changed. this is a team that really doesn't have an identity. Offensively, they're starting to pick things up a little bit. This rotation is pretty much built around young arms. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs with those kids. Nobody knows who they're going to be. We've only seen a sample size. Unfortunately, one of them went down today with Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, the beat just keeps going on. I felt that if this club continued and could play 500 baseball, you'd have to be happy with that considering everything that's going on. And, you know, they took a couple of steps forward, a couple of steps back, Damon, to try to take a few forward. And sometimes that's what you have to do. And they don't like to use the term rebuild or but, you know, they're reorganizing right now. And I think they're still looking for some type of identity. I don't think you can point to any particular thing right now with this club, why they play better at home, I mean, on the road opposed to on the road. I mean, if you look at their record, even though they have played better on the road, I mean, it's still not a pretty record. So just strap your seatbelt on. It's going to be a bumpy ride for the green and gold this year. It's going to be some ebb and flows. It's going to be some good times. It's going to be some bad times.
Shooty Babbitt here on 95.7 The Game. What'd you think of Minaya's first two performances? There's a lot to like. There's a couple concerns, as is, you know, pretty much debuts with anybody. Not many guys throw complete game shutouts. I like it. I like it. Do you like it?
Oh, absolutely. He's physical. He's got power. He's got feel. He's got presence. I love his disposition. He understands the game. You know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, there's a thing now, or it's been for the past few years, that's concerned me so much about pitchers. They come to the major leagues and there's a pitch count. They come to the major leagues, there's an innings limit. Normally, you get those down in the minor leagues. So when you come to the big leagues, they write you in wherever you're supposed to be, and you go on to your career, and it will dictate what type of player you were based on your performance. But because of the lack of inventory and because of the lack of quality pitching, you have to rush these guys, and you're pretty forced not to leave them in player development as long as they should be. And then I don't know, you know, some of them, you know, it's too bad because you don't get a chance to see the full picture and you don't get a chance to see the flower grow. With that being said, Minaya is everything that you would want to see in a young prospect. He's no longer a prospect. He's in the major leagues. When you take the ball for the first time and you take that first at bat, you're no longer a prospect. But they have to be very excited about the potential and what he might be. I don't worry too much about the physicality, even though he has endured some health problems in the past. But you look at him, you would think that this dude is built to last. But we know that doesn't mean anything because some of the guys that are the least physical seem to be the guys that last the longest. So it will be interesting to see, but I'm looking forward to watching his career as it materializes.
Marcus Semien has been improved defensively. There's no doubt about it. He leads the team with 7 home runs on the year, but he is batting 9th. I understand they love on-base percentage, but the guy hitting harder than anyone else is moving up my batting order. Do you think Semien might rise, or is he buried in the 9 hole?
Well, I wouldn't say so much buried. I mean, it is an honor to be batting 9th. I mean, try hitting 10th, see what that gets you.
Fair enough. By the way, I'm hitting 10th every night. What are you kidding me? I'm always penciled in that 10 hole.
You know, I'm just saying, if you look at the way that that lineup is made up, I mean, I like to tip my hat to Billy Burns because I'm watching in front of my eyes him mature as a player. I'm watching him shoot the ball through the infield post or chopping them through the infield, which a lot of times self-made switch hitters, when they start hitting from the weaker side, like he is his left side, you see a lot of leak. You see the Japanese style a little bit because they're basically just trying to put it in play and run. But this dude is manipulating the barrel. He's hitting the ball the other way. He's getting on base. I can see the confidence growing. So, I mean, he would be your legitimate leadoff hitter there. Now, there could be a case for Marcus to be a number two hitter, but if you look at his swing and the way that he goes about it, I don't know if you would consider him a guy that's a contact-type guy that would spray it around. I mean, this dude's got some legitimate pop here. So when they put Coco in there, I mean, the way that they move it around, I like that. I mean, I can see Marcus moving up as his career matures, but I think he's in a good place right now. One thing it has done is it settled him down by not being at the top of the order. I let him be calm and play defense and concentrate on that and as hard as he's been working, you can see that that's working for him for sure.
Shooty Babbitt here on the Damon Bruce Show. Good to talk to him. It's been a while, and thank you very much for stepping in today. Late invitation. Really appreciate you accepting it. And you watch baseball on both sides of the bay. Want to ask you about Matt Cain. Tonight is a big start, I think, for him. You know, I know Bochy gives his veterans and his guys a long leash, but Kane's got to be getting to the end of it. I think Peavy's got to be reaching his point on the end of the leash, too. Cain is 0-3 with an ERA of 7. He got touched up by the Mets. He got crushed by the Rockies last time he pitched against them. Just isn't the same guy anymore. Can he be the same guy?
I don't think you have mentioned one guy right now that you could say he is the front runner to be the Cy Young Award winner in any league. I mean, sure, you could say Jake Arrieta is just unreal right now, but it's way too early. I think in that Cain situation, he's earned the right to prove what he has and what he doesn't, because what he's done for that franchise and the organization. And I think any guy and every guy that has arm problems or arm surgery, whatever it might be, they all come back to their own beat, and you just don't know if he's strong physically, mentally. I mean, it's a lot going on. We want it right away, but each guy is different. So I wouldn't, you know, I may pump the brakes a little bit on being concerned about him because he's got a proven track record. And if they are going to have success, he's going to be one of the guys that's going to be right in the middle of it. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I would just be aware of what's going on with him.
If you were a betting man, how would you wager on Tim Lincecum's showcase tomorrow?
I'm not allowed to bet on any aspect of baseball, so I wouldn't bet on it.
I know, of course, you're not going to bet on it, but do you think Timmy's going to come out of that with a couple of offers and a lot of interest, or do you think Timmy's going to come out of that with very little interest?
I think he will be pitching for somebody because there's just not a lot of inventory. Who knows when you're going to catch lightning in a bottle? I mean, if he's throwing 85 to 90 pitches, I'm sure they're not under high-stress situations. But there's a role. If it's for a multiple-inning guy, I know he wants to start. But right now, he doesn't have a uniform, period, so I don't know how he can be choicy. But if he wants to pitch in the major leagues, it's probably his best bet for longevity and have some success. Might be as a multiple-inning guy. But if I was a betting guy and somebody was holding me accountable for what I had to say, I would definitely say that Tim Lincecum, if he's healthy, is going to pitch for somebody this year.
Shooty, great to talk to you, man. Thanks an awful lot. And enjoy the weekend. I know you're going to get a lot of daytime, afternoon baseball coming up with the A's. And so we'll be seeing you, man. Thank you very, very much.
Damon, thanks for having me, brother, anytime.
Good to talk to Shooty Babbitt here on 95.7 The Game. Great guy. Love seeing him in the press box.
He's an awesome guy.
One of my favorite guys to talk baseball with in the building, always. Speaking of in the building, the Nashville Predators in their building got off to a great start against the Sharks. They score in the first minute of regulation of the first period, and not too long later, though, the Sharks have answered. It is 1-1 in Nashville right now, and we've got 13 minutes remaining in the first period. So Sharks give up an early one, get it right back to get this game back to mental zero. It is tied 1-1.
Wild start there, too. The Sharks had a giveaway, too. It should be 2-1 Predators.
It really should be. The Sharks had a big turnover deep in their zone, and it did not haunt them in the moment. What I would hate is for any of you Sharks fans who want to go to Game 5 to be shut out, especially with us giving away a pair of tickets right now to the first caller who can answer the following question. From which team did the Sharks acquire...
I know it.
Joe Thornton.
Ooh!
From which team did the Sharks trade for and acquire Joe Thornton?
These guys.
First caller at 888-957-9570 wins a pair of Shark tickets for Saturday's Game 5 at the Tank. Who'd they trade? Who did they get Joe Thornton from when they made the trade? 888-957-9570. That is a user-friendly hockey question with a very small degree of difficulty, especially for Shark fans who are listening. All of our phones are going lit right now. We'll let you know who wins that as soon as we come on back. We are going to get out of the way real quick, reminding you that we're going to be taking it to the tweets. We're going to do that next. Any question you might have, whether it be baseball, basketball, does not matter. Whether it be life advice, travel advice, if you'd like to know from me, the big romantic, Mr. Lava Lava, how you get engaged in Paris, ask your question now. We will be answering just about anything that won't get us permanently banned from the air. You can send it to Dan. You can send it to me. You can send it to the station. As long as you hashtag it to the tweets,
ow!
We'll know exactly where to find it. So please.
Ow!
Wow. Look at all the soul that is sitting next to me.
Gotta pee real bad, huh?
What we're going to do is show James Brown the proper respect that he damn well deserves.
Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby.
I hear that that's not always honored when I'm away on vacation, baby. So we want to go ahead and get that back to normal.
Sometimes I'm down.
I bet we already got a Sharks winner. Indeed we do.
Saskatoon?
Congratulations to Mike in Oakland. He's going. He's got a pair of our last pair of Sharks tickets. If you are calling for them, you can stop right now. But if you want to send us a tweet, do it. Hashtag it to the tweets. That's next on 95.7 The Game.
Tweet him, tweet him, tweet him.
Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Martin Jones is giving up a pair of soft early goals, couple of rebounds off of him, and Sharks are sitting in a 2-1 hole. Lots of game left. Lots of game left. Lots of early scoring, but that's good. It means there's lots of games left. And look at it this way. The Sharks have done very well in the third period. They should take that third period and start applying it right now because the Predators are out to even this series up tonight. We'll see what happens. We're keeping our eye on it. Meanwhile, we told you that we were going to be taking it to the tweets right after we let you know that Mike from Oakland was the winner of the pair of Shark tickets. Again, congratulations to him. And so without any further ado, it is officially now time to take it to the tweets.
Not everyone has time to make a phone call, but everyone has time to tweet. Tweet at Damon Bruce right now. It's taking it to the tweets. Tweets. Now, here's Damon.
Let's begin with a guy named Carl. Carl says, Damon, will Luke Walton be the Brad Stevens in Boston and turn the Lakers around? Not quickly, and I don't think he's ever going to be the X's and O's guys that Brad Stevens is, but where Walton, I think, is going to really do well is when it comes to relating to players, controlling egos, and he comes with no bad habits. Really, he's been sitting at the foot of as modern as basketball explosion can get with the unlocking the three-point shot and your team and the way that Steve Kerr has coached this team. I think Luke Walton is going to be hampered to find any success early just given the roster that they have. I mean, you add Kevin Durant to the current Lakers roster, they're still not a 40-win team. That's how bad they are. So, it's going to be a while, but I like the hire. I really do. I think Luke Walton has been around the game long enough where his experience or lack thereof doesn't bother me. This kid had lunch with John Wooden and his dad growing up in gyms his whole life.
Yeah, and he's been around L.A., so I think he'll have more credibility with the local L.A. fans, even if they struggle. It will be interesting to see how he handles adversity. Was he 39-4? In his time as head coach, including a record 24-0 to start?
Yeah, I mean, but he knows. It's not like he thinks that he had the secret sauce of that.
You're right.
He knows. He knows.
But still, when you're the head man and you have a 55 or 60 loss season, then we'll see how things go.
Right. Are you going to let the brakes beat you if the brakes keep going against you? We go to Michelle. Michelle, who, by the way, I met at the Warrior game. Her name is Michelle Haberman. She could be related to Guy Haberman. There should be a blood test given. But she says that Tuesday's Warrior game was the loudest crowd in the Bay Area since Vernon Davis caught that touchdown pass in the Saints 49er playoff game. Hey, maybe. I mean, there are definitely 50,000 more people making noise at Candlestick at that point in time. It might be. I just say nothing keeps the sound in like a lid. And that's why all my loudest crowds are always from basketball games, always. And that Warrior game Tuesday night was one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in. It was awesome.
It was crazy.
It was awesome. It really was. And it was a pleasure to meet you. Michelle is a loyal listener of the show. This is from Tim. He says, Damon, what are your thoughts on the Warriors season ticket wait list up to 25,000 fans? Here's the thing. It's one thing to have the excitement of a new building. It's another thing to have the excitement of a new building with the equivalent of Kate Upton jumping rope in it. I mean, this is the most entertaining basketball team on the planet going into a new building. They are the hotness that you, I mean, look, if you're complaining about a Warrior bandwagon, you're out of your mind. How could you not be captivated by this team and everything that they're doing right now? How could you not be? So when you're the best team moving to the best city in a brand new state-of-the-art stadium, you're going to have an awful lot of demand and prices will be going up.
You had me at jump rope.
There's no, yeah, thank you very much. She had Verlander at jump rope too, apparently. Are Curry and Clay the best double duo in any sports? That from Adrian. Hard to say no right now. Give it a little thought and we'll come up with really good options, I'm guessing. Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, of course, you know,
right sure.
There, right there. You know, but, obviously I'm kidding about that. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, hard to argue with that. Although one guy's coaching, he's not exactly an on-field duo. Madison Bumgarner, Buster Posey.
Pretty good.
Pretty hard to argue with that. But yeah, I mean, they're up there. Curry and Clay is one of the best. How about this? Maybe the only duo that's better than Curry and Clay is Curry and Draymond. I mean, that's how good this team is.
Bryce Harper and his hair gel? Tough to stop.
Very nice.
A kick and hit.
10-year deal from Under Armour, by the way. Dollar amount undisclosed. You know what it means? Gauche. He'll be making money that is so gauche, he doesn't even want you to know how much it's
probably
going to be.
Means it's more than Steph Curry, yet they don't want to release it because Steph's got a ring and Bryce doesn't.
Right. Well, you know, it's the beauty of you signed your deal 4 years ago. Right. I signed my deal after my MVP season. From the Coco Crisper, Damon, what do you think the chances of Tim Lincecum coming back to the Bay Area are, whether it's with San Francisco or Oakland? I don't think it's good. I think the Giants know when it's time to move on from a player, and no matter what they see at the showcase, I think this is a player they're going to be moving on from. I also know enough about the Oakland A's to say this. If there's interest from multiple teams, there is no way they come up with the dollar amount that beats out the other team. It's just kind of the way business is done there. This isn't a critique. This is reality.
Cespedes being one of the only times where they had the big check.
Yeah.
In a multi-coveted situation.
And still walked away from that, even when it looked like you were getting them for a decent amount. It's so, you know, they're walking away from arbitration years. That's how they do business over there now. So I'm going to say Timmy does pitch again. I'd be stunned if it was in the Bay Area. I will also do everything I could possibly do to be at Tim Lincecum's next start at AT&T Park if that ever happened. In a Giants uniform, that place will go bonkers as he's warming up. From Alex, are the Warriors the most fun team you've ever covered since you've been back? By the way, whose new whistle is that? Whose whistle is that?
That's the whistle sound.
Someone's got the Vishal Snaz? I don't know. What it is. It sounds
it's
like
my nose whistle. I'm a little stuffed up.
Are the Warriors the most fun team you've ever covered since you've been in the Bay Area? That comes from Alex, and the answer is definitely. Yes, and there is really no close second. I remind you, there wasn't a single suggestion of excellence preceding any of the championships that the Giants won. They didn't even get good until they reached the postseason in all three of their World Series runs. The Warriors looked magical, felt magical, and maintained the level of magical through the entirety of an NBA season, going back to last year's postseason, without a doubt, the most fun I've ever had covering a team. Now, it was fun to go to New Orleans and cover the 49ers in the Super Bowl. It was fun to go to Kansas City and cover all those games at Kauffman Stadium and the World Series. It was a awful lot of fun. But this is the best team I will ever cover. There's no doubt in my mind that the Warriors, as they are constructed right now in the run that I hope goes several seasons, this will be the greatest team I ever cover in my life. Don't you think that that's a fair statement? I don't see the Niners, nor do I see the Raiders running the table 19-0 Super Bowl anytime soon. I think the Warriors are going to be the greatest team I ever get to cover in my entire career.
It would be tough to do better than 73-9 and 16 and whatever if they get this done. And back-to-back titles would be tough to top.
We got a tweet from Dennis saying that Derek Carr made the NFL Network Top 100 list last night. What other Bay Area players would be on the list, over or under 5? Okay.
Under, first of all.
I would say it's got to be under because Khalil Mack is the first name that jumps out to me. If Joe Staley cracked the list, it would be somewhere between 97 and 100. So maybe not even him. Navarro Bowman is still a tackling machine.
I put him in there.
He's in there.
Mid-70s.
He's in there. You might get Aaron Lynch based on the potential that he showed. Very, very strong outside linebacker.
He's top 100 in the league, though, right?
Yeah, I think he would be. I think Lynch might get in there to the top 100. And that's it. There isn't a single player on this offense, the 49ers offense. No, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper should be in the top 100. I would have Amari Cooper there. Crabtree even had a season that suggests he belongs in, you know, an 80 to 100 conversation. But you know, if you're taking linemen galore and defensive players galore, you start running out of options real quick and slots for guys. I would have Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Khalil Mack, Aaron Lynch, Navarro Bowman.
Oh.
That's my list, and I think I'm probably pushing it with Lynch.
That's 5. Yeah, I think you are pushing it with Lynch.
Fair enough. I'll accept that. I'm probably pushing it. He could be. How about this? Alden Smith, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Right.
Is Alden Smith on the list?
Probably not.
Yeah, if the greatest ability is availability, he's off the list, right? So we got even more of these coming in, and we will get to them when we come on back for what I like to call the final segment, not just of today, but of the week, because A's baseball has us off the air tomorrow as they head to Baltimore. After that, the A's are going to be in Boston. We have no show. I'm just looking at the schedule right now. My next show is a week from today. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The most important thing, post Game of Thrones, I will Periscope a post Game of Thrones. Or if you give me the Facebook page, that live Facebook thing now, you want me to? I will post Game of Thrones live on Facebook if I have to, or put it on Twitter if I have to.
I just watched episode 2 yesterday. Very good.
Of this season or the whole series?
Of this season.
Okay, good.
Of this
season. You're all caught up then.
Yeah, Jon Snow got himself a haircut.
Oh, yeah, he did.
A little sponge bath. Somebody stabbed me 40 times. That guy's got it good. Carve me up into pieces if I get a sponge bath and a haircut from that hot redheaded lady. I like the way you Thank work you. It. Dan Dibbley. I thought to bag
it up. Of course, this is hot redhead with necklace on. Necklace of youth.
Ah, oh, because otherwise...
Otherwise...
She'd be getting old.
You're getting scrubbed down by...
I think I missed a spot.
The Wicked Witch of the Wind. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
Hello. I'm here for your sponge bath, Dan.
We almost made it the whole show.
Remember, your rubber ducky. Your rubber quackers. Did you see that I gave away quackers? Did you see this right here?
I see it.
I came back with souvenir ducks for the entire show. It's not a squeaky duck.
Oh, I squeeze it anyway.
Don't squeeze my duck, damn you. Gah! Oh, Iggy, he's taking the duck from me. What do I do? Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, it's very wet in here. Because I've been giving Dan Dibbley a sponge bath. Yeah, it's going to keep me up all weekend. Thanks, Lowell, washing Dan in a tub. This is the Damon Bruce Show, unfortunately.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, wrapping up what's been a really, really fun show, the disturbing Jerry Sandusky story aside, by the way, if you still haven't heard about this, it looks like Joe Paterno in court documents knew possibly all the way back in 1987 that Jerry Sandusky was doing beyond inappropriate things with boys in the Penn State facilities. It is 1976, excuse me, did I say 87?
Yep.
1976 is when a boy told authorities that this happened, told Joe Paterno, and the blind eye was turned, and the single worst story in the history of sports took place in Happy Valley, at least the worst story I've ever seen. We want to wrap up our Taking It to the Tweet segment. Real quick, though, I was not aware that the NFL Top 100 list that had Derek Carr on it was a top 100 players in the league last year, because someone said, what about Charles Woodson? Well, Charles Woodson retired. If Charles Woodson isn't on the top 100 player list last year, throw the whole list out. He could have been in the top 50. He could have been in the top 25. He was the best safety in football last year. You know, one of them. One of the two, three best safeties in all football. So, yes, if the list applied to who were the top 100 players last year, then absolutely. Charles Woodson's on the list. I'm going to miss him. Raiders are going to miss him. Hopefully they, you know, won't miss him much based on, you know, the draft pick that they made. And hopefully he becomes Charles Woodson quickly. But, yeah, they're going to absolutely miss Charles Woodson. You can't have one of the all-time great football players ever leave your football team and just be like, no big deal. Carl Joseph in his first game will be just as good. No, he won't be. There will be some growing pains there, but I like that pick an awful lot. Three more questions to the tweet style, and then we will break down the Kentucky Derby. If you want to get the post time sound up, Danny, we'll do a little post time for the Kentucky Derby. But this is from Mark. Mark says, who's the Warriors enforcer? Is it Bogut? Is it Bogut? Is it Draymond? Is it Azeely? Look, I think it's I know it's Bogut. Bogut is the guy that is this team's enforcer. But Draymond is the wartime consigliere, as I've been saying. He is the mental discipline setter for this team when it comes to the energy and effort they play with possession by possession defensively. It is Draymond Green. But it would probably be Bogut the first to knuckle up. And Azeely had 13 good minutes. Let's not assign him any titles before he does something else other than 13 really good minutes that totally helped them win game two. This is from Craig. Has Steph Curry become the most marketable athlete in all sports? He's the safest bet. The bad boy also plays well, Dan. You know what I mean? There's going to be somebody out there who wears the villain hat. Look at it this way. The second most marketable guy this year was probably Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant embracing the black hat, the villain role, the unliked, the hated, the booed. On the absolute opposite side of that, you have Steph Curry, the fun, relatable player with the perfect family life, the beautiful wife, the beautiful children, the beautiful parents. Like Steph is as marketable as you will find. You know who's also, I think, a little bit more marketable now after his Masters loss is Jordan Spieth, because you eventually stop pulling for Goliath. He will not be viewed as Goliath, even though he is the number one golfer in the world. He won't have that invincible era about him, and I think that serves him well from a marketing standpoint. If it's not Curry, if it's not Spieth, is there a name that pops into your mind, Dan?
LeBron James is still,
right.
He's still in the mix, even though he's fading.
Sure. Well, I mean, globally, the biggest brand in sports is probably still LeBron.
And football-wise, Peyton Manning, but he's now retired.
He's gone, right.
There's a bit of a void created.
Right. Bryce Harper is on the way to being baseball's most identifiable, relatable, marketable guy. You still got Mike Trout. But Trout, unfortunately, yeah, and Harper's got that bad boy thing going for him a little bit. You're right, Elena. Elena just wrote, bad boy.
She couldn't write bad boy fast enough.
I know, she liked that. It's like she's written that down before as a request. It's like she's ordered one of those.
Let me get a Harper bad boy.
Let me get a Harper bad boy on the rocks. Two Jack and Cokes.
With a beer back. Make it snappy.
Final to the tweets question comes from Scott Burns.
I love it.
On your European trip, did you stop by Hamburger Quick for a burger? No, I didn't. I didn't. I ate a couple of burgers, but they were in bistros. There was no fast food. I try to avoid fast food here.
No fast anything.
I'm not going to fast anything over there in Europe. No. I didn't do that. Although I got to tell you, in London, on a day where I was a little just like, I want to eat now, we walked past a Five Guys.
What?
Five Guys is in London. And that is a good fast food burger.
Called Five Chaps or Five Blokes?
Five Guys.
Did you go to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam?
No, I didn't, but I went to the Van Gogh Museum.
You did, okay.
Went to the Van Gogh Museum.
Very good.
And took a long walk through the park.
You didn't go to Anne Frank's house, did you?
We walked past it.
Smart move. Veteran.
Didn't go in. Yeah.
Veteran. It's all cramped and like... pretty sad up there.
Yeah, well, hey.
Cramped and sad.
I wouldn't call the book a happy novel. So
a real pick-me-up?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So we were respectful, saw it, and moved on. And went and rolled one up and enjoyed Amsterdam in another fashion.
How about that?
Isn't that something else?
Twist and shout.
You're allowed to do it.
It's always a pleasure, D. Bruce.
It's always a pleasure, Dan Dibley. Thank you so much for coming in and filling in for Gianna today. Great to see you. By the way, maybe you like Nyquist. Nyquist is going off from the number 13 post in the Kentucky Derby this week. So Nyquist looking to become the 8th horse ever to win the Kentucky Derby with an undefeated record. He's 7-for-7 lifetime. It's the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby. And if you can give me big floppy hats, little cleavage, some mint juleps, that's my kind of party.
I'm going with the horse named after the way I describe my love life, Exaggerator,
out of the
11 hole. That's... winner of the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah, I bet you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with the horse that I most relate to in terms of the spirit of the name. There's a horse in the Derby called Sudden Breaking News. So here comes Sudden Breaking News with a big upset. Nyquist, Nyquil, don't worry about it. By the way, Kent DeSormo's on Exaggerator. Kent knows how to win derbies. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thanks to our guests today. Lots of good stuff from all of our friends. We got to get running. I'm running a little late. Thank you so much. Again, Dan Bouton-Vixon. Thank you to Connor. Thank you to Danny Freisinger. Thank you to all of you. Due to A's baseball, I'm back in a week. I will use Twitter and Periscope and the internet to communicate. In the meantime, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Dubai was lit.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.